Some people just don't like to do this, but close your eyes. And okay, you can open them. And in that short time, we've just arrived in Egypt. Wow. So here we are in Egypt. And as you can see, this huge pyramid is it's just enormous. You can see it starts with the big tiles on the bottom, and then way far up in the distance looks like tiny tiles, but they're actually, those bricks are actually the same size as these bricks, but far away. Okay? But it's so good to have you all here. How many of the kids went to VBS this week? That's a lot. That's a lot. And obviously we went to Egypt and we learned about Joseph and Pharaoh and Joseph's brothers and everything that went on during that time. And I want to I'm going to travel around a bit, Larry, with this mic. Celeste already told a few of you, a few of the kids, what they learned and what they did. But I just want to catch all of the adults up as well with what we did this past week. I had the task of being Zaphnath Paneah. Do all the adults know who Zaphnath Paneah is? Does any adult know who that is? Norma, who is that? It's true, that's Joseph's Egyptian name. And as Zaphnath Paneah, I had to wear an Egyptian headdress and a robe, and I had to wear... What did I wear on my face? Does anyone remember? What did I wear? No, it wasn't makeup. It was mascara, thank you. Had to look Egyptian, I had to wear mascara. But I want to ask, for those of you who remember going to Joseph, some of you that was your favorite part, which is nice, but do you remember what you learned from Joseph the very first day about what God gives us? Does anyone remember what God gives us? What is it? God gives us on the first day, Amanda? God gives us hope. And do you remember what the verse was for that? What was the verse? You already said it, Marlene. I'll give it to Jasmine. What was the verse for that day?
Well, I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11.
That's exactly right. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you hope and a future. Every day we gave out these little memory verse coins, and Mondays was this one, a little eagle. What about on Tuesday? What did we learn on Tuesday? Does anyone remember what does God give us that we learned in Joseph? All right.
God gives us different gifts.
That's right. God gives us special abilities. And does anyone remember the verse from that day? This is like a special gifted family for remembering stuff. Does anyone remember that? I can give you a clue. It was a snake. Where's Mandy? Okay.
Romans 1:5.
It's in Romans. But it's not 1:5. It's Romans. All right.
12:6.
Yeah. What?
In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well.
That's exactly right. You know that the kids are giving us all a fantastic lesson in memorizing Scripture. There is almost nothing more important that you can do than memorize Scripture. Now, on day 3, we learned one more thing. Something else that God gives us. What was it, Linda? If you need wisdom, ask for a generous God. Because what does God give us? Wisdom. Exactly right. God gives us wisdom. And then day 4 was a thing that came hardest to Joseph, and it came hardest to most of us. What does God give us? On Thursday we found out what?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Do you remember the verse as well?
But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious, merciful, slow to be angry, and rich in unfailing love. Nehemiah 9:17,
that's exactly right. And the last day, yesterday, God gave us what? Autumn. What is it? What did God give us yesterday? A family. Do you remember the verse that went with that?
We're all children of God.
We're all children of God. And not only did Joseph get his family back, but who did he find out was his family?
His brothers.
And who else? Who else was his family? Yell it out. Us. Everybody. Everybody who's a God follower is Joseph's family and our family. And you're all my family. I'm your family because we are all God followers. And you know, For those of you who don't know the story of Joseph that well, I'll just remind you. We started out the week with Joseph in prison. And all the kids came and visited Joseph in prison. He told them about what happened to him and getting him in prison, about how his brothers threw him in a pit because he had these dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. You remember that dream where the sun, moon, and the stars bowed down to Joseph and the stands of wheat, 12 of them standing up and 11 of them were bowing down to Joseph. And so Joseph ended up being his father's favorite. And his father even made him a coat of many colors. But because of this favoritism, Joseph's brothers were quite jealous and they ended up throwing him in a pit in the ground, lying to their father about that he was dead, and then selling him as a slave. And I think that there may not be anything worse than being sold as a slave, except maybe dying, but maybe some would even prefer that over slavery. And he was sold as a slave, but then even out of that bad situation, God brought about a blessing, and he ended up in Potiphar's house, and not just in Potiphar's house, but actually in charge of Potiphar's entire household. Of course, until Potiphar's wife took a shining to him. And, you know, that actually fit with the story, because I was playing Joseph, so I could imagine that, of course, Potiphar's wife would take a shine. But anyway, whatever. But of course, Joseph, being a real man, he didn't just waltz on out of there or hum and ha about it. He fled that lady's bedroom like lightning, straight out of there. But because of that, he ended up in prison because Potiphar's wife lied about what happened. But then, of course, Joseph was given the abilities to interpret dreams by God of his guys that he was with in prison. Not to mention that he actually ended up being the leader of all the prisoners in prison. I don't know how often that happens in prison. I wonder what would happen in San Quentin if they had one of the prisoners be in charge of all the other prisoners. I wonder if that's something that they do. I don't know. But Joseph ended up being in charge of all the prisoners. And eventually he was summoned to Pharaoh's palace to tell Pharaoh what his dream meant. 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And then, as the famine came, Joseph's brothers came back to Egypt to get food. And this is where things got a little dicey for Joseph. Because they had gone from bad to worse to good, back to worse again to bad, and then good, and now his brothers are back. But of course they don't recognize him. They don't know who he is. And he slips a cup in one of their sacks, in Benjamin's sack, and makes out like they'd stolen it. But the end of it is that Joseph eventually forgives his brothers. And I want you to come with me to the Bible right now, to Genesis. Oh, by the way, in your bulletin, there's that count thing that I've forgotten about. And JP has been doing it every week for a certain word. And I've been doing it already. And you guys didn't even realize. And some of you have. But the word that I've been saying is Joseph. And hopefully you've counted how many times I've said Joseph. Now, I'm not going to be tricky like Pastor JP and say Joseph a bunch of times really fast, okay? I'm not going to say that. How many times have he got Joseph there, Holly? Like, quite a lot. You have Joseph there quite often. Yeah. How many Josephs? Like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 Josephs. Make that 26 Josephs. Oh, sorry, make that 27. Now, some people think that the J in Pastor JP stands for Joseph. But what JP stands for? It stands for Jell-O pudding. Hey. Did you know that? You should ask him later, call him Jell-O pudding. Pastor Jell-O pudding. No, it doesn't stand for that. It stands for James Patrick. But like I said, I'm not going to be as tricky as he by saying Joseph a bunch of times. But we're going to pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I hope you're all there. I actually just said Genesis, didn't I? But Genesis 50, verse 20. And this is after Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. They've been there a while, and their father has died. And now that their father is dead, they presume that Joseph is going to come after them and seek revenge. But this is what Joseph says, and this to me is just a defining moment of his life. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And I think that one of the things I learned this week is that regardless of what happens in our life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, especially if it's bad, that God can still use that, that can still be a part of God's plan to bring about incredible and amazing things in our life. In Joseph's life, he saved his family, and not only his family, he saved an entire nation, an entire region, because he was able to save up food and then give it out during the famine. And I want to show you a little bit about what this means to be good from bad. Can I have a volunteer who can help me out? Oh, goodness. Oh, Tony. Tony wants to do it, and someone else too. Why don't you come up? Yeah. All right. I like doing experiments. I want you to hold that and tell me what you see in there. What do you see? Bark. And what else? Is there any rocks in there or dirt? Look at that. It's a little dirt, dusty. Yeah. Well, Tony, can you pour a little bit of water in there? Not too much. Just, keep it going. More. Keep going. Yep. Keep going. It might be just all of it, huh? Yeah. All right. There we go. Now, would you drink that? No? Why not? Why?
Because it's not good.
It's not good? What about if I told you I could make this water good? Do you think I can? Well, watch this. See if I can do it. Because I want to show you that good can come from bad. I've got this little thing here. Maybe you've seen one before. And I can put this in here. Whoops. Do you want to help me out? You want to come up here and hold the cup? Hold this cup right there. There you go. So everyone can see. Stand a little bit to the side so everyone can see. All right. I've got this little tool here. So I just start pumping like this and see what happens. What's happening in here? Oh my goodness, look at that. Whoa. Look at that, hold that up. Clean, fresh water. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? Out of this dirty water, which one, if you had a choice, which one would you drink now? Yeah, that one. That's what I would choose too. Thanks for your help, and thanks Tony too. This is exactly what we're talking about today. And this is something we see happening just in our regular life. Things that something comes from something useless and makes something good. It's good. A little bit barky flavor, but that's okay. You know, olives, that's another thing. Have you ever had a raw olive off a tree? I have. It was disgusting. And then I had one out of a jar. It was still disgusting, but some people like that. Some people like that. Something bad, like an olive, you put it through all these processes, and it comes out something good at the end. And this is what it was like for Joseph's life, that he had so many bad things happen to him, and his life was just like a yo-yo. Things were going good, and then just into the depths of despair. And then God lifted him out of that and then plunged into the depths of despair again. And this was his life. But yet in the end, he was able to say that even though you intended me harm, this was meant for good, to save many lives. It reminds me of when I was at school, I used to have to catch a bus, 30 minutes, a rural bus, and then I had to walk with my brother another 30 minutes. And it doesn't matter what time of year, when it was warm, when it was cold, we had to walk 30 minutes and ride a bus 30 minutes and then turn around and do it on the way home again. And sometimes, just as a sidebar, we would forget to catch the bus, which would make our mum have to take us, which was a little better because she could drive us all the way to the school. But we used to get dropped off at a high school with all these other kids, and then because we were going to the Adventist school, we had to walk. And every day there was this kid who teased my brother and I, who teased us, who bullied us, who tried to beat us up. And this happened time and time again as we started to walk, because we had to wear a funny uniform that the Adventist kids had to wear, and some of them didn't have to wear, they just wore regular clothes. And we had to carry a huge amount of stuff because we were coming from way out in the country. And I guess we were just targets. And there was only two of us. And one particular time, he said, he threatened us, and he said, when you come tomorrow, I am going to beat you up. And we believed him. And so we went home that day, and we told our mum what this kid was going to do to us. And so she did not give us a lesson in self-defense. She didn't put us in karate classes. She gave us a simple little thing, a little card, a little memory verse card, just like what we gave out all of you kids at VBS. And she says, when he comes up to you, give him this memory verse card, which we thought was the most absurd thing to do ever, because now we're giving him a reason to beat us up. So the next day came, and we thought, well, we'll go through with it. We were good, obedient kids. And we went up this, we started walking down the street, and sure enough, this bully and his friends comes up to us, and they start walking up to us looking pretty mean. And then we pulled out this card. Hey, we've got something for you. It's a pocket signs. And you know what? He took it, and he looked at it, and he read it, and he thought that was the greatest gift anyone ever gave him. That somebody would repay his evil with something good. And from that day, he became our defender, our advocate. He looked after us every day amongst the rest of his friends who still wanted to get to us, but he became our best friend. Because what was originally intended to harm us, God intended for good. In fact, God wanted to save that boy's life. And so, I didn't get beat up. And I still haven't gotten beaten up. But for Joseph's family, I said it again, for Joseph's family, this thing here with his brothers was not the end of the story. And we're going to finish the story. Because last week during VBS, we only got to a certain point. But Joseph kept on living after that with his brothers, even after his father died. But if we flick over a couple of pages to the first chapter of Exodus, let's continue the story. Let's start in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. And it says that after they lived in Egypt for quite a while, that Joseph and his brothers died. And it says in verse 6, now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. They did exactly what God told them to do, which was to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what they did. But then a new king, a new Pharaoh, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them. Do you know what shrewdly means? Who can tell me what shrewdly means? Oh, we're going to learn from Barbara here what shrewdly means.
I think it's harshly.
Harshly? Yeah, that's one way. Does anyone know any other words that could describe shrewdly? Rough? Sneaky. That's a good one. Sneaky. Cunning. Yes, they were sneaky. They were cunning. They wanted to get a positive result for themselves, but they wanted to do it out of sneaky, sneaky ways. And so what they did, this is what they did. They said, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they'll become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Now, in the children's story, what all did you learn not to do? Barbara, what were you trying to do? You're trying to make your F into an A, and what was that called?
Lying.
And right here we have a little bit of a lie. In fact, there was no risk from the Israelites. It was just Pharaoh thought that there might be something, and maybe they might do something, and we better make sure we take out any possibility that they can make war on us and do something about them. And so that they, in verse 11, they put slave masters over them. to oppress them with forced labor. And they, the Israelites, built Pithom and Ramses and store cities for Pharaoh. So this is a pretty insane punishment for just some kind of fear of what might happen. Something might happen, and so we're going to enslave an entire people just to cover our bases, just to be sneaky and shrewd and make sure they don't come up after us. And so the very same way that Joseph started out, do you remember how Joseph started out? What was he sold as? A slave. And now once he has died, his children and the children's children end up right back where Joseph started, in slavery. The worst of all things to be in, still alive as a human, is slavery. And here, the Hebrews, the Israelites, find themselves again. But I want to give you the verse for today. This is our memory verse for today. And I wish that I could give you a little thing with an Egyptian animal on it, but I don't have one. But it's found in Romans chapter 8. Come with me all to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I still hear pages, so you must be on your way there. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is what it reads. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I just want to hear you say amen if you love God. Amen. I want to hear you say amen if you've been called by God. Amen. And I want you to say amen if you believe that God works all things for good. Wow, this is a funny thing, because you all believe that. But I know that we all have tragedies in our life, that we all have challenges, that bad things happen, and we can't see how God can get us out of that. In fact, this is one of those things that people give why they don't believe in God, because bad stuff happens. And if they were God, they wouldn't do that. That's not something that they think God should allow. But bad stuff happens, doesn't it? Such is life. Things happen. You know, I don't want to say that my life is better or worse than yours, but just a few things in my life. My sister, I've told you about her before. She's handicapped. She's never lived with us since she was 4 years old, because she fell out of a car and cracked her head open on the road. My niece has a very, very rare type of disease called Prader-Willi syndrome. And not only does she have a rare disorder, but of that rare disorder, she is in the rarest category of that disorder. And there's only one laboratory in the entire world that even studies anything about that. My mother, you all know, she has cancer just littered throughout her abdomen. My dad has AAA, which stands for abdominal aortic aneurysm, that they say will probably eventually take his life. You know, Jody and I can't have children because both of us have problems that prohibited us from doing that naturally. But you know what? Out of all these things, God works together for good for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And even though all these things were meant for harm for me, for harm for my family, just like it was for Joseph and his family, God is working all the time to work these things out, to pull us through them, to give us faith to stand. You know, my mum still has cancer, my dad still has his disease, but they're still alive, and they still are faithful. My niece has a good life. She's probably in church today as well. And my sister, I don't know, but I know that Jesus will heal her one day. But you know what? Even though Jody and I can't be pregnant, God has called us to His, according to His purpose, and has worked it out for good. And now you all know Jody has a baby growing in her, who I affectionately call Little Tucko. But God works things for good for them that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works things for good. Let's finish the story back in Exodus as we bring this to a close. Back in Exodus chapter 1, at least this part of the story, because we're just in Exodus 1. But the story continues. Next week, there's more to this. As we finish up this series, as we say goodbye to Egypt, but we've got one more family Sabbath to go, and I pray that all the kids, that you bring your family along, because we want to hear what happens in this story. But let's finish now in Exodus 1, verse 12. And this is my favorite word in all of Scripture. It's spelled like this, B-U-T. What does that spell? But it says in Exodus 1, verse 12, but the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor and brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. And all their labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. You know, and there's always a but. But whatever happens in your life, God will bless you. God will work things out for good. But whatever happens in your life, bad things will still happen. And things might get worse. But God still is there. He's still working things out. And the story doesn't end there. But our time ends today. Because the next part of the story, you've heard it before, is that Pharaoh is so fed up that he says that all the male children should be put to death. Except one escapes that. And you know his name? Moses. Moses. Maybe a distant relative of Joseph. Probably a nephew, a great-great-great nephew of Joseph. But that's for next week. You know, in the bulletin I gave you something today to help you remember, something that's a little, you've probably heard it before, maybe it's almost like a cliche, but right in the front cover is a little thing that some people have framed in their house somewhere, maybe on the door, on the back door of a bathroom or something, or tucked away, or, you know, somebody gave you this as a gift one time long ago. But this little poem is an amazing reminder of how things work with God. Let's read it together. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there was one only. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me? And the Lord replied, the years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you. On the inside of your seats, on the pew, is a bunch of cards. Why don't you take them out if you're sitting on the edge and pass them down? Every week we've been asking you to fill one of these out. Whether this is your first time or your second time, whether you've been here a long time, we ask you to fill this out because we want to connect with you. And we want to know what's going on in your life. Because I told you a little snippet about my life, and I know your life has challenges in it too. All our lives do. It's what happens from living in a broken world. And today's decision is on there in the back of the card, because there's one thing that we need in order to let God do what he does, and we just need to trust him. So if today, if that's your decision, that, you know what, all of these things going on in my life are really bringing me down, my family down, there's so much treasure that I just don't know what I'm going to do. If that's something that you want to give to God because of his promise to work things for good in your life, I want you to tick that first box. But if there's challenges, specific things that you want God to remember, there's that second box for that as well. That you believe that God will bring something good out of your challenges. And check that second box. And there's some other things there on the right-hand side that you can do if you would like one of the pastors to contact you or to transfer your membership or the greatest thing of all, to be baptized. And there's a box there for comments or specific prayer requests, because we want to take this journey with you. Because as God believers, we are one family. And we want to take this journey with you and pray with you and pray for you and do what we can to help you through that challenge so God can bring out good. As you're doing that, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, you are an amazing God. And I don't know what it is like to be you, to see the beginning from the end, to see the big picture, to see the pain that we're going through. We don't know where it's taking us, but you see the end. You see the way there. And I just pray, Lord, that in our lives you'll work out that good that you've promised. That we will constantly love you. That we'll remember that you've called us. And that you'll just keep on working out this good. That when the storm clouds are around, that you'll break through like a ray of sunshine to touch us, to lift us up, to keep us going. That we may trust you just as Joseph did through all that happened to you, that even though harm is planned for us, that you have something else planned for us. That even through that harm, you can bring out the saving of many lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.